2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back into KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell here with you. And Britton Covey from the University of Utah joining us here. Freshly minted preseason first team All-Pac-12.
I got to ask this question, though.
Yeah.
What
is it?
How does a kid from Utah County with all these BYU ties go to Utah? I don't get it. How does that?
It was Scott Mitchell.
That's the number one thing that we ever get asked. It's just like, so you're from Springville, right? That's how it always starts. Now, you were like from Spanish Fork or Springville or something. So why'd you go to Utah? And it's usually a disgruntled BYU fan.
I get asked that all the time, and there are certain times when it's like I'll be standing in line at a Cafe Rio and ask that. I'm like, do you want me to answer now? Like, about 20 seconds. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it was more of a I didn't say no to BYU. I said yes to Utah type thing. I harbor no feelings or anything towards BYU. Like, I still really like BYU. But the one thing that I always felt with every other school except Utah and maybe Utah State was – I always felt just a little bit of slight towards my size. Just in conversation where I always felt like they viewed my size as a disadvantage. And being my size in the recruiting process, if you go to a place where someone sees your size as a disadvantage, you're already lost.
You're done.
You're done. Yeah. I mean, so people would say things like, you know, we're going to have to bulk you up a little bit. Instantly, I know what they think of me. And I know what conversation's going on in the recruiting room about, like, you know, I don't know if he's big enough, things like that. So Utah, I never felt that. It was always just the quickness, the speed that I bring, the ability, you know, the smart aspect of things. And so that's the main reason, I would say, is I never felt a slight towards my size.
Have you used that as an advantage and a motivation for you? I mean, has that been something that's really driven you to say, hey, I am what I am, and I'm going to show you that I can do this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being my size, you have to play a certain type of way,
right?
And I actually think that you have advantages that you don't have otherwise. And so I've used it as a little bit of a chip on my shoulder because that's just kind of how I am. But then also you use it to your advantage. I mean, I grade out every single year as the highest graded blocking receiver on our team, and people would not know that because I'm the smallest one. But it's all about how you use it and how smart are you with your blocking and how you run people off, you know, things like that. And so I always like – that's like my favorite stat, is that I always grade out the highest blocker because I'm not the biggest, but you use it in specific ways.
Well, it's no secret now. Everybody knows what kind of a weapon you are with Utah. I mean, I think it's like the, you know, 3 years running.
I think it could be even more of a weapon. Well, I really do.
Well, that's the thing is that I think a lot of people see and they go – I think they're done underestimating you. I think the coaches have done the scouting reports and they kind of see – they've seen the film. I mean, it's insane to watch, you know, when somebody's that quick. So when you guys had to go through what you did last year, Coach Witt was talking about, you know, the Friday before two games that they're like, hey, man, it's not happening. How much of a bummer was that as a team? And just I know at some point you guys just got sick of it. I know for sure he was just done. I mean, there were feelings of being done. But then at some point you push through and then you start actually improving, going 0-2 and then winning those last three.
Right.
How does that mindset switch over for the team?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it helps our team this year. I think it helps a lot. I mean, we don't have a single guy that really left this year other than a couple transfers that left. But it mentally was more exhausting than physically, having to almost board the plane twice with scouting reports, full weeks of practice, and then all of a sudden you can't play. So I'm glad there's not going to be any of that this year. But what we learned from that last year and just even from our games, if you look at our games, we never had a game where we put all four quarters together.
Sure.
We won three games off of two good quarters in all three of those games. So that experience has been vital for our team. We know that in order to win, like, we have the same team. It's not like we're just crazy better this year. We're going to have to put together all four quarters.
Right. Well, you're going to have a different quarterback.
We will have a different quarterback.
Who do you think is going to be the quarterback? I have eligibility, though.
Is that one hey, I'm going to have another year of eligibility after this year.
I know. You'll be my age when you graduate.
I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know that I'm going to give the typical, like, athlete, like, avoid the question answer. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback at the end of the day. I will say things that they're both really good at. Cam is really smart. He knows the offense like the back of his hand. And he's a great leader. Like he definitely has taken a leadership role of the offense. Charlie, he simplifies defenses really well. He basically, like, if it's man coverage, he doesn't overcomplicate things. He's just like, all right, who's my best player? Who do I trust? And there's a reason he has that many passing yards, like at Baylor. You go back, watch his Baylor film, and watch how he picked matchups so well. I mean, I saw it the first day when we brought, like, a two-man blitz to weak side pressure, and literally without even hesitating or anything, he just dumps it off to the boundary, and it's just simple. So I would say they each bring their own component. I'm interested to see what happens.
What's your role in that? Like when they get these reps, and mm-hmm. you know, they're talking about splitting reps and trying to, what do you look at? Like, hey, I'm just going to do my thing, and if these guys can put the ball in the money, then
yeah.
Like, what's your role? Like, how do you make sure that you're getting the best looks, right. I guess, from everybody?
I've always viewed the game more as a quarterback than as a receiver. So, I don't know, maybe that's like thinking too much of myself, but I've always felt like I'm the receiver that talks to the quarterback and tells him things that he can't see from his position. Because I know what it's like, you know, what you can only focus on so much as a quarterback. And so I like to go to the quarterbacks and talk about, hey, look, I understand that we want this, but on these plays, you got to trust this matchup with Vele or with Solomon Enos or things like that. So I've kind of taken that role, and I think I've taken that role since I was a freshman because I played quarterback and I understand that. So I'll take an active role in deciding who, you know, how the quarterbacks see things or sure. who the quarterback is.
Do you sit in the meetings with the coaches?
Do they give input?
They ask you, yeah. like, hey, what do you think about?
No, I'm not.
Pick our starting quarterback. That's what they
well,
say.
No,
I actually think it'll be interesting this fall because you had all of spring with Charlie Brewer. I mean, like, exclusive yeah. access. And to watch the two of these quarterbacks battle it out in the fall, I think it'll almost jump off the page to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Yeah, this guy's way ahead, or maybe it's close, or maybe it's the other guy. I don't know, but mm-hmm. I would imagine you could get a pretty clear indication. How soon do you want to know? I mean, because you got to get dialed in with
right.
people. And
I mean, maybe I haven't watched enough football, but I've always found that two quarterback systems up until the week of the game never work.
No.
I
you have no quarterback.
You have no
you
quarterback.
You have two, you have no.
And so I think you got to know after week one in fall camp, because what we're doing is we're making practices so that one team goes here, one team goes there. So we're going to get – these guys are getting opportunities. And what's going to happen is you're going to have one of them that feels like they didn't get a fair shot.
Right.
Because
sure.
we all would yeah. feel like we don't get a fair shot if we don't start. Right. It's just reality, and sometimes right. you don't. But it's for the benefit of the team to know your quarterback early, in my opinion.
You guys have been so dang close to winning that Pac-12 championship.
Yeah.
What's it going to take this year, and what are your personal goals in terms of being able to add to that as well?
Yeah, I think this year it's going to take two deep roster. That's one of the main things that I learned from the past two seasons where we were so close is we had great starters. Our two deep wasn't quite as bought in. And to sustain it throughout the whole season, you need a two deep roster. Maybe a three deep, you know, but the best teams have two deep in every position. So that's what we need. And then just that mentality that's come up. But personally, I would just love to stay healthy, you know, as healthy as possible.
Sure.
Really quick, I want to ask you about the depth. And not so much for injury, but if you can have guys kind of get spelled a little bit and still have the production so
yeah.
so you can just even make it through a season.
Well, that's why the Alabamas and the Clemsons are so good. You go to their third string guys and they can compete with almost anyone in the country. So you get fresh guys every drive because, all right, first two downs, the team got a first down. All right, we're switching. We're rotating. There's no drop-off. And then third down, all right, you put your best player back in the game on defense to run. You know, as a receiver, I think that's huge, and that's great having like someone like Jalen Dixon back, you know. So me and him, like, we switch off or we're on the field at the same time, but neither gets tired, and you can't just have one DB cover.
Britton Covey. Wide out for the University of Utah, joining us here on KSL's Unrivaled. We appreciate it, and we wish you the best of luck. We hope you stay. I love how you said it's unrealistic to think that I'm going to be totally healthy all year long. But the type of healthy that at least keeps you enough in the game. So we appreciate it. Thanks for being with us. And thanks for being with us, and good luck this season.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it, as always.
Hey.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.